One thing that gets people in trouble is that they see one person successful at X. And so they think that, holy, hey, I need to do X in order for me to be successful. And it's no. That person might be operating according to their natural wiring, and that's why they're successful at that. But it doesn't necessarily mean that just because they're successful at it does not mean that it's going to be that you are going to be successful at it, because that person has a unique wiring, has a unique set of talents, unique set of gifts. So really helping people go through that. And again, it's all about self-assessment, in that because ultimately leadership is really more of a self-discovery process. The first person you should be trying to lead is yourself.
Welcome to the How Leaders Think podcast, a show that transforms you by renewing your mind and giving you new ways to think. I am your host, Kenny Lang, and with me today is the Dr. Vance Cooper. I don't know. We're going to get some stadium noise in here one day. Dr. Vance Cooper is a leadership development consultant and mental health advocate with 10 years of experience in acute inpatient mental health. That's acute, not like cute. Inpatient mental health. That would be a way different profession, and I would have some questions for you, sir. With a PhD in corporate leadership, he helps people prioritize mental and emotional well-being by equipping them with tools to unlock unrealized leadership potential. I love that. Without compromising authenticity. That's hard. His workshops and keynotes blend compassion with clarity, challenging audiences to lead themselves with the same care they extend to others. Welcome to the show, Vance.
Thank you very much for that warm introduction, Kenny. Grateful and appreciative for you inviting me onto your show. What's on my mind right now is I've really actually over these last couple of days and even weeks have just been trying to really think about what I can do to double down on the opportunities I have to support others. So whether that is I'm on a number of different boards. So just figuring out some of them I'm actually going to be cycling off soon. So just figuring out what other types of new organizations I want to serve and support. I have a book that I've been working on as well that's been taking me a couple of years. And really this year, I just feel like I haven't really been doing actually much, a lot of speaking and consulting right now, because I just really said this book that I started a couple of years ago, like I really need to double down on finishing this. So just continuing to write, have a couple of meetings in a couple of weeks with some publishers to try to see if somebody wants to pick it up as well. So again, just really figuring out what I can do to really support others, because I really believe that supporting others is one of my unique gifts.
Gotcha. I love that. It sounds like you really try to walk the talk for what you advocate for others, and whether you're speaking or doing your workshops is living out what it is you advocate for.
No, absolutely. I'm a lot of my friends say that I'm a man of few words, which I have a tendency to be, especially when I'm one of those people who I have a tendency to be a little bit more introverted and reserved up until the point where gathering information, just really figuring out, reading the room really before I actually open my mouth. I'm one of those types of people. So really just trying to figure out different ways that I'm able to support others. And then also just making sure that when I am having conversations, making sure that I have all the information before I actually speak. Because I think that that's something that a lot of people have a tendency to, you ever hear somebody say that people are listening to respond rather than actually listen to gather information. So I really try to catch myself and really just take the time to actually listen to gather information. I think it helps. You're married. I'm married. I think that it really helps a lot with my marriage as well. With my wife is happy where I try to really, if I'm getting some feedback or if she's expressing her point of view, I'm not trying to actively respond. So just going through that with my wife on a day-to-day basis, it really helps me be able to, it really permeates into my other relationships where I'm able to just really sit back and actually take the time to listen before I'm actually responding to a question or a thought or something.
That's really good. And that is probably in a few moments saved my marriage by pausing just a little bit in between stimulus and response to, oh, did I actually pay attention or was I just raring to go with something to say? I want to go back to the idea of finding ways in which you can serve. And you said something interesting. I'm looking to double down on this. So as you take inventory of all the things you've done and are doing, committed to those things, because even though you had a short bio that you sent over, there's a lot there that you could unpack with speaking. You got the inpatient mental health piece. Like, I'm sure you've got some great stories there.
Absolutely.
Getting your PhD is no small feat. And then just all the different things you can see in corporate leadership throughout the years. Those sometimes are as fun stories as hearing about inpatient mental health stories and what people are dealing with. But what helps you do an honest evaluation of things you thought, hey, I think I can make a difference here? And maybe you made a small difference, some you made a really big difference. I don't think you have enough self-awareness to know not every impact is the same. How do you start to evaluate those things given the number of experiences you've had and places you serve?
I think the key is to have a process where you can consistently take a self-inventory. And I think the key is consistently doing it, because what I've recognized is that a lot of people don't really self-assess. They don't really take the time to really evaluate their strengths, their limitations, who they work well with, who they don't well with. Am I here to serve people? Am I better suited to serve some sort of a process? A lot of people don't take that self-inventory. And then oftentimes when they do take a self-inventory, so for example, they have all these different types of assessments, whether it's the DISC or the Myers-Briggs and all those different things. Mm-hmm. I think that it's important that you recognize that you can't just do that one time. You have to have a process where you're doing it over and over again and constantly reevaluating. So I think that process that I put in place for myself to constantly reevaluate, checking to see how I'm doing, checking my limitations and what I'm doing to work on those limitations, what I'm doing to strengthen my strengths. Going through that is really how I'm able to see what I can do based on the time that I have, based on the skills that I have, and then based on the environment that I am, to really just double down and really see what I can do to make a difference and how I'm able to make an impact into people's lives.
There's so much goodness there. And I think maybe break this down, because one of the core topics I talk a lot about is everything has to start with self-awareness, right? Like I have there's a series that I did towards the end of the year over part of my methodology, Lead to Scale, that goes aware, aligned, and accountable. But the part I find most people skip is that aware piece. They just get into taking action, right? Absent of data, information, reflection. And I think reflection is a form of data. What got you started on that sort of level of awareness so you could find the things that you are most aligned with? How did it get started, and what has it evolved into? Because I don't think there's a lot of people with that sort of practice of self-evaluation.
So that's an excellent question. And so what I will say is that I certainly didn't always think this way. I've been thinking this way probably, I'd say, it first hit me, it was like simultaneously so I started my doctoral program in 2016 in the fall. Mm-hmm. And simultaneously while I was starting that program, part of the reason I started it because I was going through this self-discovery process, just recognizing that there were things that, though I had had success in career and was doing a lot of good things, making some good money, I still had this empty feeling that I was doing more, that I could do more, feeling that I wasn't really operating in purpose. So that I was actually introduced to, I was doing some, just attending different seminars. And then I was actually introduced to this assessment. It's a DISC-based assessment called the flight assessment. It's actually by Dr. Eric Thomas, who's a professional speaker. And so when I went through that process and did the flight assessment, also had some coaching on it as well, just because I think that coaching sometimes gets a bad rap, but I think that coaches is important because you really have to have even if it's not a coach per se, you really need to have somebody in your life that's able to ask you questions that you're not able to ask yourself. Yes. And so that's really the key to thinking. It's funny, one of my coaches that I worked with in the past is they're like, wait, what's the definition of thinking? And then people are coming up with all these different elaborate questions for what thinking is. And then he really simplified it in a way where it's just like thinking is just asking and answering questions. So if you don't have somebody that's really able to hold you accountable and ask you those questions that maybe you're not thinking of, or maybe you're not able to ask yourself, I think that's really what helped me be able to start thinking in this way. And then once you take that self inventory, and then once you have that accountability piece where you have that self accountability and then you also have external accountability, once you start thinking that way, at any point after, in terms of the way you don't, if you don't accomplish your goals, and if you're not going in the right directions after you start doing that self inventory, and once you start doing that accountability piece, at that point it's really your fault, because it's really what I always say is that are we accountable to other people? You're accountable to your clients. You're accountable to your spouse. You're accountable to maybe your kids in many respects, but self-inventory and self-accountability is really the most important accountability. So if you don't do that, go through that self-assessment process, you're not going to really be able to recognize ways that and things that you could be doing to really hold yourself accountable.
I could not agree more. I want to take this clip, put it on my website as an endorsement for coaching. It's like, why should I do coaching? Listen to my friend, Dr. Vance. He's smart and he will tell you why. But I'm fascinated by the idea of splitting or categorizing internal and external accountability. When I talk to people, I've come to adopt the definition of accountability from Dr. Timothy Clark, who wrote The Four Stages of Psychological Safety and several other books. But this stuck with me as he defined accountability as transferring ownership and critical thinking, which I think aligns really well with what you were saying about asking and answering, right? Like better questions, better answers, better questions. And that just escalates. And to me, I think that speaks a lot to that critical thinking, or just the definition of thinking of asking and answering. That's how you train yourself. But transferring those things, that's almost sits in the external accountability piece of I own a company and I'm a CEO and I hire people to do the things I need done, or, and more often the case early on, the things I don't want to do. With internal, it transfer from myself to myself. Can you start to break down how is internal accountability defined for you, and how does it start to differ from external accountability? Because that sounds like the piece that you've really latched on to in this evaluation process you've developed for yourself.
The key to me holding myself accountable is simply having a schedule and having a routine and tracking it. Because I think that quite often what I recognize is that, at least with my clients that I've worked with, a lot of people don't write things down. You have this thing where you have, and I can't say that I always write things down, but
I raised my hand. For those of you just listening, I sheepishly raised my hand on that one. So,
But the key is like that schedule and that routine, and really having something where I can, when I'm writing down everything that I need to do. So my personal process is that I'm trying to get better at writing out things that I need to do for the month, but on a week to week basis is really, I just write out every single thing that I need to do. Like I rank the most important things, like the absolutes that I have to do. And what I have is I'd have basically like a fixed schedule where I know I absolutely have to do these things. And then I have more of a flex schedule where it's, I need to do these things, but if I don't get these things done, then it's not really necessarily the end of the world. We can kick the can down as long as we get them done at some point, or maybe it's like a longer deadline to get those things done. Yeah. And so me being able to go through that process, that really has helped me hold myself accountable as well. And then what I do is once I try to only have really no more than maybe five things, just so that way I'm not really overwhelming myself as though I have to get all these major things done. And then Sometimes that when I do have a large task that I need to do, what I'll do is I'll break that down into a series of maybe three tasks so I can do it over the course of time. So then that way It still feels like I'm making progress, but maybe I don't necessarily have to overwhelm myself by trying to accomplish a large chunk of things in a smaller amount of time. So writing things down, writing my schedule down every week. Then every day I go through and I say, all right, I have these things that I said I needed to get to accomplish by before the end of the week. So how am I going to break this down on a day-to-day basis? Now, what I'll try to do, which I honestly admit that I don't always succeed at, is I try to schedule things like for example, I know we had to record this podcast. So this was something easy for me to point out, like for even though it was further out in the week, I know it was going to happen. But I try to make sure that I plan things out in a daily task schedule based on the things that I said that I need to accomplish through the week. And Me being able to write it down, and then at the end of the day, I'll go back and check just to see, hey, Vance, what did you actually get done? So I'm able to look and see, all right, you got five things done. Maybe this today, something, an emergency came up and you only got three or two things done. So me being able to write things down and actually track, that's really the way for, and of course I have a coach that I work with as well, but it's like me being accountable to myself. That's really the key, because when I have this, when you have a big goal that you've said that you want to accomplish and you've said all these, and especially if you've mapped out all the things that you need to do to accomplish said goal, at that point, once you've written it down, if you don't accomplish it, like I was said earlier in the call, at that point, it's nobody else's fault but yourself. And so that's really where that self-accountability piece comes into play. And then I have other people that I have a colleague who, for this has been going on probably like the last 2 years. What we'll do is we will take a screenshot of our written schedules and we will send it to each other at the beginning of the day in the morning. And so that way I send it to him. So it's like, I'm accountable to myself. And then we're also accountable to each other to make sure that we accomplish all the tasks that we said that we were going to write in a list. So that's some of the things that I do to really hold myself accountable above everything.
Those are some great practices. So if you're listening to this and you haven't paused it like seven times to write these things down, go do that, hit rewind and come back. It, like you mentioned, like having this interview today, it's a little easier to be accountable to things to where someone else is showing up, especially someone that like you don't know well. But I think I've been thinking about how we communicate with others and ourselves and with leaders in particular is nobody wants to think that we're ever lying or disingenuous to one another. But I do think that the person we lie to the most is ourselves.
Yes.
And we will sneak out of, we'll justify, we'll reason, we'll explain away why I didn't do any of the things, of the five things that I set out to do. And so for you, it sounds like in the macro, the high level is I have a process. I'm going to follow the process so that willpower doesn't become a part of the equation. It's just, this is what I do. And then within that, you're blocking time on the schedule. So you're actually writing it out and then putting it on your calendar as it's like an appointment with yourself to get something done.
Yes, that's exactly what I do. What I will say is that like the time blocking component, like in terms of me saying, all right, I'm going to do, like I said, for example, this is easy because we have it scheduled on a calendar, but some of the other things, if there's no like deadline, I'm not necessarily writing it down saying I need to do X at 1 p.m. or I need to do X by 3 p.m. Okay. Unless it's time sensitive. What I'll usually, it is literally just a list of things. And so between the time I wake up And I'm kind of a late owl. So it's for me, it's, if it's not 12 o'clock a.m., it's not, the day's not over for me. So it's like, if I do it between the time I wake up and the time that the day is over, I need to get those tasks accomplished. So that's more so the way I look at it, unless it's something that's like specifically scheduled for a specific time.
Gotcha. And with those five, have you organized them in sort of like a priority order so that you're, so since you're not time blocking, are you just looking at, okay, number one was the most important of these five. I'm going to work on it until I reach whatever definition of done I had for this particular task and then move to the next one?
Yeah, usually it's according to priority. So in most cases, I'll do the things that are the most important first. There are other times where maybe it might be the one of those situations where it is important, but it's something I don't necessarily want to do. So I might do the easy tasks early. Like I might do the easy tasks early. Like for example, right before our recording, I was just looked at my list of things. Hey, what are some things that I can do that are on my list of things to do that I could just knock out in the next 5 minutes or so. So I did get a couple of things done. So there are times where I'll do the easy things. So it really just depends on the flow of the day. And so I don't really have an exact process for that, but it is, depends on how the flow of the day is going.
Gotcha. So, and I love the idea of just screenshotting or taking a picture of your list, whether it's on your calendar or you've wrote it on a post-it and stuck it to your monitor, sending that to a friend. Like that feels like you could use that when you need a little extra reinforcement. You're like, this is going to be a tough day. So I need you to ask me. And sometimes just by virtue of knowing someone's going to ask you about it can be the motivation. I know like in the work you and I do with coaching executives and leaders, I know sometimes just because they know that they're going to be on a call with me, they've said like, I didn't want to show up empty handed, and not that I'm like somebody they need to impress or anything like that. But if someone's counting on you to get something done, none of us want to be lazy or a liar or anything like that. And so it is like it's tricking yourself with a little bit of cognitive dissonance to do what you say you're going to do. I want to maybe bridge this over into something that was in your bio that I really did and I highlighted, which was unlocking unrealized leadership potential. And it would seem that that plus this disciplined process of self-reflection, evaluation, and self-management or self-accountability or internal accountability, as you called it, those would be linked in some way. Are those two linked? And if so, how?
No, absolutely. Those two are linked. And one of my biggest things that I always advocate for is, first off, just helping people recognize that they're a leader. All of us are leading somebody or capable, or at least have the capacity to lead somebody, and that we're all following somebody. And so really helping people recognize what their specific gift is and helping them really lead within that gift. Because I think that a lot of times, especially in society, we have all these influences all around us. And so, especially when we see a lot of people have success, one thing that gets people in trouble is that they see one person successful at X. And so they think that, oh, hey, I need to do X in order for me to be successful. And it's no. That person might be operating according to their natural wiring, and that's why they're successful at that. But it doesn't necessarily mean that just because they're successful at it does not mean that it's going to be that you are going to be successful at it, because that person has a unique wiring, has a unique set of talents, unique set of gifts. So really helping people go through that. And again, it's all about self-assessment, and that because ultimately leadership is really more of a self-discovery process. So before you lead or ever trying to lead other people or a process, for example, the first person you should be trying to lead is yourself. And you're leading yourself by taking that self inventory, because as a result of you doing that, that has a way of being able to permeate into the leadership of other people. So again, it's about really leading by example, going through that self-discovery process yourself. And then once you've done that yourself, then you're more equipped to really be able to help people bring that leadership capacity within themselves outside into the light, into society.
Yeah. I love the phrase you said about leadership being essentially just a process of self-discovery. And I also, it really resonates when you talk about somebody may have gotten success because they were operating according to their wiring. And that's one of the things that I find and I fight against most often is I see someone else who's doing something like I like, and they did it a certain way and they developed these certain skills. And so that must be the path to, like, there's this one best path to success in everything. And I don't believe that that's true. And it doesn't sound like you believe that either. So in unlocking that unrealized leadership potential, what is the process of getting honest about that? Because I may really admire, let's say I really admire what you're doing and the work you're doing. We're in similar fields, all those things, but you've got a different wiring from me. What do I need to go through in order for me to finally go, you know what? Vance Cooper was just wired, engineered, and designed to do work this kind of way, and I'm not. Because that could be a really sobering moment for a leader, especially early on in their careers. They may be really ambitious, those sort of things, and think, I'm supposed to embody this. This is what a good leader is, instead of what does good leadership look like for Kenny Lang? That could be a difficult thing for people to confront.
It really can be. That's why I just really, one of the things that I usually will do with my clients or if I'm working with students is really what I've grown to call, really I've started calling it my purposeful three pathway. So basically I like to look at leadership from three perspectives. So What is my vision? What is my character? What is my attitude? And so I think that really being able to assess what is that big overarching vision, I think that that's really a key. I think that it's also important for us to continuously self-examine ourselves to really check our character, because I think that we have a tendency to, there's a lot of lack of character in leadership as well. Mm-hmm. And so I think that it's really about, can people trust you? Are you actually sticking to your values? Are you conforming to things that you don't actually believe in? I think that you really have to check to see if you're in situations where you're forced to conform. And then also, I think that it's about having a positive attitude, because leadership in life, the reality is that everything is seasonal. There's going to be good things. There's going to be good seasons. There's going to be bad seasons. As a matter of fact, I mean, for sure, if you're having a good season, you are certain that if there's certain that maybe might take a day, might take a couple years, there is certainly coming a bad season. Now, what that bad season looks like can differ based on your perspective and the environment and things of that nature. But one thing for sure is your attitude is really what's going to carry you through that bad season. Because just because things are going not so well or not according to plan, it does not mean that nothing going good and that you can't find the good out of anything. So really maintaining that positive attitude, checking your character, making sure that people are able to trust you and sticking to your values. And then also just having that big vision as well. And like that vision is going to be something, it's important in leadership that you have that vision, because the vision is going to be something that is, you can't really see it with your eyes. It's something that is really, it's almost like if you're on that cruise ship, and you're looking at you're in the middle of the ocean and you're looking at the horizon line and you're like, you can't see any land there, but land is there at some point if you keep going forward.
Right,
it's just that you can't see it right there. So that's really how that vision is really what's going to carry you. That's really what's going to carry you through in terms of being able to accomplish your goals, stay on mission, and really being able to help you be the best leader that you can possibly be.
That's so good. And would you say that people need to develop those three things in that order? Is there a sequencing to it of vision first, then character, then attitude, or does that matter?
I think that you need all three kind of simultaneously at the same time. But if I had to pinpoint one that is the most important that you should have first, It's the vision. Because if you don't know where you're going, it doesn't matter what your attitude is. It doesn't matter what type of character you are. You're like wandering in the desert with no perceivable goal or no mission. Yeah. So I think having that vision, that's really the main key of the three of those.
I would agree. It is that magnetism that can focus and pull everything together. I've heard it said before, if you don't know where you're going, you'll end up anywhere.
Exactly.
And then it's like you can't get mad, or you shouldn't be mad when you end up in a place you didn't really want to be in, whether that's in your life or career or relationships. And that doesn't mean you got to turn everything into an absolute goal, but you do need to be honest about what expectations you have. Going back to the idea of marriage, that was one of the things that early on in my marriage was really difficult. And like you said, if you have people around you, like you're leading in some way, shape, or form. I lead my wife leads me, we lead our children, those sorts of things. Sometimes my children try to lead me and I remind them that their brains are mushy and undeveloped. But I had expectations that I was in a vision for what marriage was supposed to be like. Of course, I was 21 when we got married, so I didn't know my butt from a hole in the ground when it came to marriage. And my wife might argue that I still don't, coming up on 17 years of marriage. But I didn't articulate those things, but I acted from the vision I had, but wasn't even cognizant of or aware of or clearly stated to myself, let alone to her. And it wasn't until I started getting those things out, and same for her, back to me, that I started going, oh, okay, now we can deal with it. Now we can have a conversation. Now we can come together and go, all right, that's unreasonable, but this isn't. And I could see where you get that. But had I said something, like, we just got everything out on the table and we were actually able to communicate those things. So I think being clear, like, vision isn't just something for like a corporate business plan or strategic document. It really, I do think, has to start with you as an individual being able to read that and get clear about it for yourself. And then I love the character and the attitude. I was just reading, the attitude can shape so much about what it, I don't want to get necessarily into like you're manifesting this and that and all of that, but you find what you focus on.
Yes, absolutely.
Right? It's sort of like if I really want to buy a Lamborghini, suddenly I see Lamborghinis everywhere. Mm-hmm. Or if I really love a cherry red vehicle, like that sort of priming thing, but you find what you're looking for. If you want to find problems in your work, in your job, in your relationships, in your life, you're going to find them.
Yeah, it's like but that. The same old, yeah, I was going to say it's like that, like the late great Earl Nightingale in the Strangest Secret, where it says you become what you think about. Like that's really the truth, because whatever you focus on, you subconsciously are going to become it. And so it's really, that's why it's important. I can, just like you, yourself, and I continuously double down on self-assessment is really key, because you really have to constantly take that self-inventory. How's my life going? What are the goals that I set for myself? How am I progressing towards those goals? What's my fault? What are some things that I could work on?
Yeah.
It's really that self-accountability piece is really so important. And the only way you're going to be accountable to yourself is if you consistently have a process to self-assess.
That's fantastic. Yeah. I think 100% your focus forms you and to who you are becoming and starts to change that character piece, which I think I agree with you. It's like we have a lack of character in our modern world. Yeah. But that could be a three-part mini-series unto itself that we don't have time for today.
Correct.
But let's say someone's listening and maybe they've already been thinking about this. Maybe they've heard different other podcasts and leaderships, and Lord knows there's productivity gurus and self-leadership things all over the place. We're not the first people to talk about it, but somebody has been taking in this information and they say, okay, I've got all these ideas. Where do I get started? And this is where I think your notion of how are you wired becomes so vitally important, instead of just taking someone else's blueprint as your own. If they wanted to take a baby step in the next 24 hours, spending little to no money, to start to have that internal accountability and that process of self-evaluation, what would you tell them? Where should they look? How do they take that baby step in the next 24 hours?
I think in the next 24 hours, one of the things you could do is just really pull out a sheet of paper and really just examine your life. Be honest about your life. And you make a list of things that are going good and make a list of things that are maybe not going so good. And if the things that aren't going so good are outweighing the things that are going good, you clearly have a problem. And so it's really, first off, something that we mentioned earlier in the podcast is being honest with yourself. Because rather than living in a delusion, you really want to take the time to really sit down and think everything through. Because a lot of times we don't want to do that because it's like we're scared of finding that we might have to list that thing that we really know that we should have already been doing. And so that's one of the easiest things you could do. Again, take a piece of paper, put a simple line down the middle, start writing the things that are going great in your life and start writing the things that are going bad in your life. And if the bad outweighs the good, that's the first thing you'll do is recognize that you have a problem. And once you recognize that you have a problem, either you're going to start figuring out ways to be able to solve said problem, or at that point, it's your fault.
You first step, be accept accountability. I love that's a great exercise, and it is so it's simple but might be difficult because you got to face reality. I heard, and I'm sure he wasn't the first person to say it, but Dave Ramsey loves to say about leadership, he goes, the sad truth is that oftentimes you're the problem, but the encouraging truth is that you're often the solution.
Yes.
So, you know, stuff is not outside of your control as much as you may think. So this was fantastic. If people want to know more about you, more about your work, where do they connect with you? Or maybe they just have some follow-up questions from the things you've shared today. Where do they get a hold of you and learn more?
No, excellent question. So people can reach me simply vancecooper.com. That's my website that I utilize for people to be able to reach out to me. And also, I'm very active on LinkedIn. So it's R. Vance Cooper Jr. at LinkedIn. So definitely reach out, connect with me. I'd love to be able to, whether it's something that, like a nugget that you got from this show that you want to follow up with me on, if you want me to come in and speak to your organization or anything like that, certainly reach out to me and I'd be happy to have a conversation.
That's fantastic. Yeah, we will link up all those things in the show notes to make it easy for you to get a hold of Dr. Vance Cooper. You just got a sampling from him today, so there's plenty more where that came from, I am sure. Vance, thanks for stopping by. Like you did a drive-in, like you stopped by like this is an office. But I turned into Anchorman. It's like, thanks for stopping by. Stay classy. But I enjoyed this conversation, and I'm sure we're going to have many more in the future that will be really encouraging and helpful to the folks out there. Speaking of the folks out there, listeners, thank you for spending time with me and Vance. Like we don't take that for granted. We know that your attention and your time is limited and precious. And so we hope that we respected that by giving you an impactful conversation that makes you think a little bit differently about your life and your leadership. If you did get something from this, leave a comment, like, rate, review, subscribe, whatever the action is on your platform of choice. Those sort of things, one, give me some data and some feedback so that I can continue to improve this show, find other leaders like Vance to come on the show and share their wisdom, share their experiences to help make you better. But it also gets these sort of conversations in front of people who are looking for these sorts of materials, these resources and this content to take their next step in leadership. And that's a free and easy way for you to pay it forward to the other leaders that are on a journey just like you. And won't that make you feel warm and fuzzy inside? But until next time, change the way you think, you'll change the way you lead. We'll see you.